Okay, I love everything about this. I wrote notes. Apparently, though, when you write notes in the middle of the night, in the dark, on your phone, while being semi-only awake, they don't save properly. So I will try to recap, because I do not have my notes anymore. One of the things that just kept, like, echoing through my head over and over is if Boba has been reinstated on Kamino, the parallels between Boba and 99 when seen through the eyes of all the other clones. So your average clone rate is approximately double. So they've got the physical age of 8 when they're... Yeah, they've got the physical age of like 20 when they're 10. Physical age of 8 when they're 4. Like, they go upwards, right? Except for 99, who ages ultra fast and stays old. And except for Boba, who looks like Peter Pan to them. Because they're growing up and they're becoming adults, and there's this perpetual 5-year-old running around. To them, it looks like. Which I just think, and then like Boba and 99 maybe being some kind of friend slash you're the only person who's like sort of on the outside of the general experience of what's happening here. And bonding, or possibly bonding with the Bad Batch, same kind of thing. Clone Force 99. Basically, one of the things that you had mentioned about like Boba being a citizen, I like the idea. Okay, so I don't know if it's like ever actually established, but definitely my headcanon is like Jango Fett does not consider the clones people. He considers Boba people, but he does not consider the rest of the clones people, because if they were people, he would be responsible for them. And if they are product, he is not. And I feel like that rubs off on baby Boba when he's growing up with his dad. And his dad's like, you're a real person, and I'm taking precautions to make sure that you are treated like a real person, but everybody else out there that has my face is product and is essentially a commodity. And the only way the only way you can deal with having essentially led to the creation of so many people who are going to die is to not think of them as people in the first place. And that ties in with sort of the canonical view of the clones that Boba has. But if he doesn't finish his growing up, like the way he did in canon, if he finishes his growing up in his next couple formative years in the barracks with the clones, it becomes like his view of them changes, and like sort of the slow shift from you've got my dad's face but you're not my dad and everyone says you're not people to, oh shit, I guess you are people, and also brotherhood and that sort of weird, I feel like, mix between brotherhood and also looking for sort of fatherly, paternal comfort from some of the older clones because they've got his dad's face. Like, that slow evolution of how he comes to see them as brothers, I think, would be really fun to play around with. Also, I think the Kaminoans, like, whatever precautions Jango Fett set in place for his son, like, the Kaminoans don't necessarily have to honor it, because in the eyes of the Republic, this is a minor who has no standing. And, like, in the eyes of the Mandalorian Empire, it's a little bit iffier, but he's not in the Mandalorian Empire, and they have no say when the Mandalorian Empire doesn't know he exists, right? It's really about the Kaminoans and whether or not they see him as a person and whether or not they see him as, like, slightly malfunctioning product. Okay, you were talking about Boba sort of trying to find his way to the war front. And I think this would be a hilarious bit of paperwork mix-up, but it shows that his decanting date was 10 years ago standard, so obviously he was supposed to have been shipped off to the front. Whether or not he happens to look like an adult, that's not important. What was important is the date he was stamp-tatched. So maybe that's part of how he encourages the paperwork mix-up, the records-keeping mix-up, in order to get sent off. Because when Jango Fett died, the Slave One was on Geonosis. And I feel like he would have booby-trapped that shit out the fucking, out the airlock. He would have booby-trapped that ship. So Dooku couldn't take it as an escape ship to leave. And I don't think any of the clones would have taken it because, oh, and this is the other thing that I kind of want to tie into it, that there's some, either some junk DNA or some particular, almost like a, here's my watermark on your DNA that the Kaminoans put in to indicate that they are clones and not natural born humans. Because Jango Fett, I feel like, would be paranoid enough that he wouldn't want thousands of near-identical-looking beings able to potentially steal his ship, so he would have probably genetically locked it in some way. That means the clones would be unable to open the ship and pilot it, because they're not quite exact match. Whereas Boba is a single, unaltered clone, including possibly Jango Fett's, you know, genetic predisposition towards high cholesterol or something, but minus the watermark on their on the DNA. So somehow Boba has to get from Kamino to Geonosis in order to get the Slave One. And I feel like maybe he encourages this records-keeping snafu in order to get access to a ship, possibly access to a battle cruiser or something like that, in order to get him closer to Geonosis and get his father's ship. Here's what I think happened. The Kaminoans don't tell him shit, because in their eyes, he is kind of the control group and kind of a malfunctioning piece of product. And any importance as a natural-born being that would have led them to pay more attention to him was lost when Jango was lost. So Boba doesn't find out from any of the Kaminoans that his father's dead. He finds out from one of the first batches of clones who were on the ground at Geonosis. One of the survivors, possibly, I don't even remember which units were sent to Geonosis, but maybe when, and now I'm getting my timeline mixed up, I forget who came back after Geonosis, if it was Kenobi again, or if it was Yoda, but somebody and their unit comes back to Kamino to basically be like, hey, here are the holes in my roster now, because I've got one in 10 clone troopers still alive. Fill up the holes, right? And it's one of the clones who managed to survive Geonosis who grabbed Jango Fett's bucket and brought it back. It's one of the clones who brought back his helmet, brought back his armor, and tells Boba. Because Boba sees that there's a hubbub going on, and that even more clones than usual are getting marched out and sent out, because you can't hide that kind of personnel movement in a place that's essentially, you know, a perpetual barracks. You can't hide that. So he notices something's going on, and then after the battle, a clone comes and gives him his father's armor and says, sorry, kid, we didn't see who it was or how it happened, but think this is yours. And maybe Boba notices that there is a particular type of singe mark or staining around the seal of his father's helmet. But he's not familiar enough yet with a lightsaber. He's never seen a lightsaber up from close to know what kind of mark it is. Maybe he's got a supposition, he's got a theory, but he doesn't have first-hand experience with that. So it kind of gets like there's like a deep-seated, slow burning flame of who killed my father, but it's not nearly as overwhelming. I think the other thing you mentioned, like, so we know, I forget the name of them, the group. In Legends canon, there's several other Mandalorians that, like, the bounty hunter type people that Boba Fett, or rather that Jango, had sort of recruited to help train the clones on Kamino, and Boba would have known them from being around on and off for the last 10 years. I kind of want one of them to come looking for him. Maybe it's Fett Rao, maybe it's Fenn Sheesa. You know what, I want it to be Fenn Sheesa because, you know, he really liked it when Leia pushed him up a tree. And, you know, that kind of thing. We'll bring it back around to Princess Leia eventually. One of them eventually hears that Jango Fett is dead and comes looking for Boba. And the Kaminoans, I think, don't let him take Boba. Because they've gotten used to using him as a control against what the other clones are growing like. And what the, so somebody does come to claim him. And the Kaminoans don't let them. So then Boba, like without knowing about it, sort of ends up clinging to the only steadfast he's got, which is the other clones around him. And then Shaak Ti shows up, which you talked about. And I like the idea that maybe he first starts trying to, like, con his way into getting to know her because he wants to get a hand on her lightsabers and see if they make that same kind of singe. But in trying to con her into liking him, he actually gets to know her and starts to like her in return. And then there are, in fact, the tiny weapons-bladed shenanigans. I swear, I absolutely did think, what if Sabine gave the darksaber to Boba? Because, like, there is a point sometime in Legends where he ends up... Like, he ends up in Carbonite accidentally, and then he skips a generation, and then Aelin Vell's daughter wakes him up, and there's a plague, and also possibly he's the Mandalorian. I'm mixing up my canons and my timelines, but I'm pretty sure there's some time in his future where he does become the Mandalorian. The Mandalore. The Mandalorian. That's a crossover. Except it's not. It's not a crossover. It's real life. I don't know if I'm happy about that. I still have to figure out, like, because, like, what canon are they actually going to include? And, like, are they going to rewrite my poor son's traumatic backstory? Anyway, yeah, we can cut that out later when we post this. I like the idea, too, that because this exposure to the clones in their natural habitat, so to speak. Like, I do think Jango kept Boba isolated from the clones, and he might have had some training in, like, you know, weapons craft and personal safety and bounty hunting and how to be a sneaky SOB, but if Jango doesn't think of the clones as people, he's not going to put his son in, like, the, you know, the high energy learning environment with the computers and the you know what I mean, that montage scene where Obi-Wan shows up on Kamino and you see, like, thousands of clones with the headgear on as they, like, speed learn years worth of information in 20 minutes. He wouldn't let Boba do that because he asked for an unaltered clone. He wants a child to raise who will grow up as a child. He doesn't want a second soldier son. So I feel like Boba's going to have advancements in some skills that maybe the Kaminoans don't consider worth teaching the rest of the clones. And the clones will be more advanced in certain skills that are artificially, basically, artificially implanted in their brains. So there's going to be a fun kind of rivalry in these classes as Boba sort of readjusts his worldview of who these people are and why they're important. Also, the fact that he is an unaltered clone in all ways, I think it means he doesn't have a brain chip. Which means that when Fives shows up, they'll have someone's brain scans to compare his to see what the extent of the programming is and how deep the rot goes. I'm not sure what Shaak Ti would end up doing about it, because I think at that point there's just, it's not like, I'm in, and then you type in 3 override codes and then you've fried the circuits. It's not like that. There's not a software patch for it. So I'm not sure how she'd handle it, but I like where you're going with that, so that's where I'm going to leave it. And that's, I think, about where I remember my notes ending. The other thing I remembered was that possibly Dooku stole some of Jango Fett's either armor or weaponry, and that puts him on Baby Boba's radar as, you were the last person to see my father. He was working for you. I know because I found some of his records in our apartment. You have a lead. So instead of chasing Mace Windu, he chases Count Dooku across the galaxy, and then there's probably a hilarious scene where he, like, Dooku is doing, like, dramatic cape nonsense, and Boba is, like, frothing at the bit like a tiny Edward Elric, ready to slam him in the face. But he only reaches, like, Dooku's, you know, knees, and it's hilarious. I just love everything about this. I have to think about it some more, and I'm kicking myself that I didn't save my notes properly. Maybe if I fuck with my phone, I'll be able to find it. All right, tapping this back to you.